We thought about it for a while. I told him that I was thinking about cormorants almost all the time because of my study of Mutter. All the books in the car were written by Mutter. Bringing together the thought of cormorants, a thought that even now is still poised somehow in the air above me, with this notion of loneliness and its haphazard effect, it is almost as though some are drawn to loneliness, as to an art. We come to the woman of San Nicolas Island, a person who, it seems, did not so much suffer the horror of loneliness. Over the rumble of the car, I related the story of this woman with great delight, telling my son that she had been on the island for 18 years when she was discovered in 1853. That coming to shore with her rescuer, she wore a green dress of cormorant feathers, such a dress had never been seen before. The dress, which had become her integument, like some sort of hermit crab shell, this cormorant dress had seemingly improbably formed around her, sewn together with binding of whale sinew. This feathered dress was the outward emblem of her plight, and in some ways constituted the main part of her available for judgment, as in other ways she was somewhat ordinary, apart from her miraculous ability to survive. He wanted to know where the dress was. I told him the dress was in the Vatican, that because it was miraculous, because in and of itself it held the essence of what is unknowable and what is therefore more valuable than value, what is invaluable, it was sent to the Vatican, a place known to be a repository for all that cannot be understood but must be preserved. I said this was a kind of joke because the dress is presumed lost somewhere in the Vatican. He did not laugh, but looked at me steadily, waiting. The road ahead of us was down and down and down. It was in a cleft, so that what we were going down towards, that could not be seen very well. Of course, it was also the night time. I continued. She had a song that she would sing to her rescuer and to others. Toki toki yaha memena, toki toki yaha memena, toki toki yaha memena, weleshkima, nishu yaha memena, weleshkima, nishu yaha memena, toki toki yaha memena. My son did not ask me what the song meant. The reason for this is he doesn't ask that kind of question. The idea that someone could tell you the meaning of something that is before you, let us assume a thing is before you in its entirety, and you do not know its meaning, and so you expect someone to give it to you, this is foreign to him. If there is something completely hidden of which there is a small part, yes, he might ask, but looking at a hare or a geode, he would not ask what it means, as well ask what a kaleidoscope means. What does it mean? Nonetheless, I wanted to tell him about the meaning of the song, so I did. I said there was much to know about it and little. Someone translated the phrases as, I live contented because I can see the day when I want to get out of this island. But this is problematic for many reasons, most particularly that the translation was conceivably affected by knowledge of the woman's plight. It seemed she had sung the song to an otter hunter, and that he in turn had sung it to a good friend of his many a time. So that he too had memorized it, held it in his heart, and it was that man who in turn, decades later, recited it for another man with the marvelous name of Talawaiwashit, who brought us the above translation. A voice singing the words can be heard on a wax cylinder from 1913, which incidentally is the year on record with the largest number of deaths from lightning. A different understanding of the whole matter can be had by adopting the view that whatever song she sang while on the island had two simultaneous meanings supported in the words. The first would be the ordinary content of the words, and the second, I live contented, because one day I will leave this island. Alternately, one could say that it is expressly because she was comfortable on the island that she did not die. In essence, she didn't need to leave the island. Boxes have been found there in the cave where she lived more than 100 years later, beautiful redwood boxes containing hundreds of artifacts, fish hooks, seashell dishes, ochre, soapstone ornaments. The house that she built out of whale bones was also found, still standing upon a rise over the sea. It takes little effort to picture her some morning in 1841 watching such beasts as cormorants pass back and forth along over in the waves. She would have been about 30, in the fullness of her life. If she did turn over those words in her mouth, toki toki yaha memena, and if they did mean something having to do with the day that she would leave, I wonder, as the years went by, if she began to conflate the time when she would leave the island with the time of her death, if in fact the song could be at the same time a deep statement of life and a plea for exit from that life. What could she have known of what would come if she did leave the island? In fact, when she reached the mainland, she lived only 7 weeks and was buried in an unmarked grave, and during that time she found it impossible to be understood by anyone, for there was no one left there who spoke her language. All she could do was to continue to sing and sing her song. I'm curious how loud she sung it, whether under her breath or with a ringing voice. The human reaction to the epic is most manageable when it is elsewhere. Those mythic things that stand before us, shining in dresses of cormorant. What do we have? What can we possibly offer in exchange?